In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Much appreciation to our guy, B. Scott, for hanging out with us all 11 o'clock hour. He's going to go back and handle his responsibilities and duties as he always does. A great job of doing so for Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, myself, Reginald Adetula. We'll keep going, giving you fantastic Texans content, including this next segment, What's Real, when it comes to what we saw in week one. I do want to remind you, we are continuing on with our Odyssey Houston reading radiothon as we are raising money for the Barbara Bush Houston Literacy Foundation. A lot of folks donating and, you know, making sure to help us try and reach our $100,000 goal for the day to help, you know, the babies make sure that they get books before they, you know, before they reach kindergarten, make sure that they are literate, that they are read, they have an opportunity and a learning and a willingness and an excitement, rather, is the word I was looking for, to go in and learn. And also, as we are trying to be a little selfish within this, if you want to donate, which, mind you, there's ways to donate. Again, new books, no spaces, no underscores. Text that to 41444. And as of now, Phillip 66 is matching all those donations, so thanks to them. But you can also be a little selfish if you like the University of Houston Cougars, want to support that program when they play Iowa State on September 28th. Buy tickets to that game. You can buy the tickets to that game today by using the website uhcougars.com/odyssey. That is A-U-D-A-C-Y. Portions of that that purchase will go to this same fund. So that's another way to get involved here, help the babies read, and maybe do a little something for yourself.
Charcuterie by Christy has donated.
Hey.
Bautista Metal Building, Junior's Desserts and Colombian Pastries. That sounds pretty good.
You love to see it.
Chill House Vending, Extreme Cleaning and Remediation Services as well. So small business, will give you a shout out.
Hey, we love it, especially when you support a business in your community and the business in the community supports back. That's a beautiful relationship that you can have. And we love seeing that in Houston here during our radiothon. All right, what's real? Lopez, Figgy, what's real from week one and what's not? And you can text in and get involved. 713-572-4610. I appreciate all the folks that I know that we talked about one of those hot button ticket issues in the last segment. We appreciate you, one, being respectful in the way that we've had conversations about that. I'm always very proud to see a listenership able to engage in a respectful way, especially on things that can be a little divisive at times.
Oh, there's respectful. I did not check, man. I was scared to check.
I mean, for the most part.
Mostly.
Okay.
Mostly.
Okay, that's good.
I mean, for the most part, I'm very proud. Very proud. I think this would be a little less divisive, but hell, who knows, man? Sometimes when you start talking football,
yeah,
it come to blows. But hopefully that won't be the case here.
On our air.
Get
all right, man. Idiot off.
All right, you so sound like you might have heard that before. Go ahead.
I'm done with stand. I'm switching the music.
Well, you know, sometimes you got to protect your peace and switch the music every once in a while. But we appreciate you hanging out with us. And by the way, we are in the noon o'clock hour, which means Texans tickets will be given away to the Sunday night game during this.
Don't switch the music yet.
Yeah, don't do that. You want to hang around. All right. When it comes to tackling, let's start there. The tackling effort for these Texans. First of all, how would you categorize that, Lopez?
Slightly better than mediocre. But not outstanding.
Do we feel like that is the real representation of these Texans? Do we feel like It is not. Maybe this Texans team tackling wise will be better, because I do think that I lean towards, maybe it's hopefully lean towards, mm-hmm. that is not quite real, that maybe this Texas tackling team can be better. That was a lot of alliteration. because of the particular matchup that you were dealing with, right? With Jonathan Taylor and Anthony Richardson and the ways in which they are not easy to bring down.
Yeah.
And there was concerted efforts against them. And I think that probably exposed them.
I think if we're being fair and honest, so that has to be something that you worry about, that it was real, because it was a continuing problem last year. Yeah, I mean, they had tackling issues here and there last year. They gave up a lot of rushing yards last year. So, yeah, no, I think if we're being fair here, that's what D'Amico's telling them right now. Tackling's got to be better. He talked about it a little bit yesterday as well. No, that's real, and that's something that you have to be concerned about a little bit.
Okay, well, let's hear D'Amico on the coach's show talking yesterday.
Jalen, starting with him, like he was very active in the run game, and that's what sets him apart, right, when he does come down and play that nickel position. Like, his ability to fit the run game, a lot of times you have those smaller DBs that get in there and they don't want to stick it up right in there in the right run game. But Jalen is one of our most physical players, and to see the way he tackled was really well. Thought Henry stepped up and did a really nice job making some tackles. And, you know, like you said, on Anthony Richardson, we had a couple times where he got out of the pocket, and we need about 12 guys to get him down. Yeah.
So Bossman seems to be fairly happy, particularly with two of the guys that we look at when it comes to tackling, Jalen Petrie and Henry Tolu.
I think it was two of the guys that we might have had. Yeah, we might have had the biggest questions about.
Yeah.
What's real, though, like for me, I'm going to mention something that I think is we often overlook, and probably, to be honest, we'll probably overlook all season long, because it's not a glittery position, a marquee position. Those interior tackles did a pretty dang good job.
Yeah.
They did a pretty dang, and that's with no D'Amico
Autry. That feels real as hell, man.
Yes, it does. Because that was something that we didn't really know. All the offseason acquisitions, these marquee players, as I talk about, then you go, okay, Folu Fatakasi, you know, well, let's see. He's a veteran that's been around.
That's a sack for that gentleman.
He had a sack and a tackle for loss.
Correct.
And a quarterback hit. And then there's the one and only Rio, Mario Edwards.
That is a sack, a tackle for loss, and a quarterback hit.
Yeah, and he was another guy that we really didn't get on our radar until, I guess it was Will Anderson Jr.
We had Will Anderson on.
And he's like, oh, man, Rio this, Rio that. He's just been helping me. And I'm like,
we like who?
So, but
and if you don't know, now you know.
Yeah, exactly what it was.
B. Scott said, oh, you talk about Mario Edwards, guys.
Yeah.
Like, oh, really?
Guys, Mario Edwards and Fatakasi were really good on the interior defensive line. We haven't given them the proverbial flowers, you know, too much, and probably won't all year, because it's not a glamorous position. But then throw in D'Amico Autry, man. Throw in D'Amico Autry after 4 weeks, and all of a sudden, you got something that helps that run defense and helps the tackling.
Yeah, the run defense and tackling, I think those are the ones that are really interesting. But for me also, the idea that you were getting pressure from those interior guys, is that's a plus for me. I mean, just a generally, if the interior defensive line stops the run and just does not allow the quarterback to step up into that pocket, cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you're actually getting legitimate pressure there, oh, now we're cooking with grease. So I thought that was really cool to get that that positively, and for that to be a real thing.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Yeah. That continues forward. How about this? Quite an efficient day on third and fourth down for these Houston Texans. Third down, they were 7-14 all the way around. And then on fourth down, 2-2. Both of those, they were I mean, below halfway when it came to, or the, they were in the second half, bottom half of the league when it came to their efficiency, those plays, particularly fourth down. They were 30th on fourth down. I mean, just CJ himself throwing was 9 for 9 in third and fourth down situations. How real is that level of efficiency for this team?
To me, and we may revisit this today, to me, that's almost something that we're taking for granted because of CJ Stroud.
Okay.
Because he's so good. And keep in mind, some of the plays that he made in those third and fourth down situations were falling down to your knees and pitching the ball to Brevin Jordan. It was the dart that he threw to clinch the game to Nico Collins. And what was the other one? I mean, he just made spectacular. Oh, it was the cross the body throw to the middle of the field. Also to Nico Collins.
Yes, it was.
That is real. I mean, that is absolutely real because of CJ Stroud and what he can do on those situations.
To this extent, that's not real, though. Like, the idea that you're just...
Oh, gonna, 9 for 9?
Right, right. Yeah. And I think that I did want to just make that
but
abundantly clear.
But consistently converting.
But, yes, I think being pretty consistent in that way, I do feel a lot better about that. If for no other reason than one of the things that is nice is you're seeing that defenses over top are going to... They're going to, you know, be conservative because of the guys that you have that's capable. And not only were we talking about the idea of Dalton Schultz being able to get underneath and just kind of maybe play in the situation that we're talking about, maybe just play the sticks, right, and be able to get things there. Stephon Diggs, it seems like, is going to be able to work the middle of the field pretty well, like the intermediate areas. And he honestly, like, he is one of the big reasons why you have Josh Allen being where he is. They get Stephon Diggs over there, and all of a sudden he goes from being a quarterback that was not good in his first 2 years to being a very good one, particularly because he can attack the intermediate places because they have Stephon Diggs. Like, I do think that that is going to pose quite a challenge for defenses, particularly in those late down situations, assuming the pass blocking looks better.
And that ties in with the other one that I feel is under the radar but is very, very real, because you mentioned Stephon Diggs, and he was in the slot a lot.
Yes.
He's not always going to be in the slot. And that ties in with mine. That's Bobby Slowick finding creative ways of using these guys to really confuse defenses. Now, we can talk about the big three all we want, like Stephon Diggs. He's not always going to be in the slot. They're going to move him around. He's going to be outside. Nico Collins, you know, we know what he can do. But how about Tank Dell on reverses and end arounds? How about Xavier Hutchinson on another end around? I believe Xavier Hutchinson had the other one. How about just finding creative ways to get all these weapons other touches? And I think, you know, you can talk about...
That's,
you know,
real as hell to me.
Yeah, that is very real. That's Bobby Slowick, as we talked about before the season.
Hutchinson didn't have an end around. Tank had both of them. Yeah,
yeah.
And I thought that was very intentional, right?
Yeah.
The ideas of getting all of these guys the football. It's one of those things that's been a conversation, and I think those guys have been very clear that, you know, it's going to happen. And it seems like that was one of the ways that we get the ball into Tank Dell's hands. With the speed that he has, with the guys on the field, we do like those end arounds. Those do provide a matchup benefit for us when you're getting these defenses flowing one way. Now we have a speedy guy taking it the other way. They have to try and change their direction and go and tackle Tank Dell, which, good luck on that, right? And that's another way you get the ball into his hands that maybe you don't have to throw it there.
It was Diggs.
Okay, yes, Diggs.
It was Diggs. Yeah, it was Diggs. I thought it was Hutch. But again, Diggs. This is something I've really looked forward to. I think it's very real. Bobby Slowick, all these toys, let's see how we can use them.
Yeah, I thought that was a great point, and I do believe that that's real. I do think that, because we've heard from multiple different settings, from different people, that there's a concerted effort to make sure to get everybody the ball. At least there's a capability, right? Everybody just get open is the thing. And I remember was Tank Dell on the Pivot podcast was like, hey, man, Slowick's got plays for all these dudes, right?
That's real, man.
That was very evident.
Really looking forward to it. And as far as the... getting everybody touches. When you look at the targets, you can't ask for much more from your big three.
No, it's pretty well balanced.
8, 7, and 6. Nico, Tank, and Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
That, you can take that every week.
And I know for certain, just off the top of my head, the play in which CJ Stroud slips in the middle of the field and then manages to get a first down by throwing it to Brevin Jordan, that one was going to Stephon Diggs. That's another target there that just, because of the way that the play played out, that he didn't get to that gentleman. And I think you're good there. There's a couple more that I want to get to. Let me see if I can slot these in real quick. One of these is one that I probably shouldn't try and get to quickly. Red zone. They were technically 3-for-3. A couple of those were field goal situations. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about this team in the red zone, especially when it comes to like trying to get 7 in the red zone?
Okay, so I feel much better about it because of what we just talked about with the receivers and Bobby Slowick and using guys in different ways and all that. That was an issue. I mean, that was one of the big issues last year. I really am not, everybody's going to have their day defensively in the red zone, but I think consistently, kind of like the third down thing, they're going to be able to convert those 3 points, convert those opportunities into points and a lot of 3 points into touchdowns.
And then, I was talking about field goals. All your field goals are 50 plus yards. So those are 3-for-3 in the red zone. Secondary.
Mm-hmm.
Are their secondary struggles real?
Again, I know you and B. Scott were talking about the cornerbacks and they were getting open, and you're not wrong. We all saw it.
I mean, Sting got on a double move. I think on that A.D. Mitchell one AR Anthony Richardson mm-hmm. sails it. I think he got caught looking in the backfield.
He might have.
Anthony Richardson hits the top of his drop. He pumps.
Yep.
And, you know, A.D. Mitchell gets the little out and up, and Stingley is stuck, flat-footed.
Yeah.
And I think that matters, right? And obviously mm-hmm. there's going to be more experience, but you have that happen. You have Jimmy Ward showing maybe possibly a little degradation.
That's where I go.
Getting back. And then I hate to keep doing this to Kamari Lassiter, but bringing up the idea that the recovery speed isn't there. So if there are mistakes, which are going to happen in football, you're not going to be perfect, especially as a DB. That's a failure position, man. That's a tough place to be. He doesn't have the idea of, okay, well, maybe I didn't get there. Now I have to go and catch back up.
Yeah.
I think that there's a possibility that big plays could be had on the secondary.
Yeah, I can agree with you on that, but I think that's going to be something that the arc of improvement is going to be very, very distinct and quickly. I'm more worried about the two guys in the middle who have experience. So, well, Kalen Bullock doesn't, but I'm saying Jimmy Ward being there, and then the rookie Kalen Bullock at safety. I'm more worried about the middle of the field. I think it's not real in terms of the cornerbacks, but I'll give you Kamari Lassiter until he starts showing that improvement. But we've seen a lot in the preseason that he can do that. A little more worried about the two safeties.
Okay. All right. I have a little bit of audio that I want to circle back to. I think we'll do that at 1 to get a feel for some of that from the 832. Was Coach Keenum on the sidelines? I actually didn't see. I'll have to check.
I didn't either.
We'll see if we can get an ID on that.
He was in a Geico commercial or some insurance company.
He was in an insurance commercial. I thought he was
progressive.
Very good in that.
It might have been progressive.
I enjoyed that quite a bit. One thing that we always enjoy here in The Loop, coming up next, time for some lunchtime confessions. First, I can confess, we might be giving away some tickets. We'll do that next.
Sometimes it's sports, sometimes it's not. Whatever it is, Reggie and John are keeping it real. It's In the Loop's Lunchtime Confessions, brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey.
These are my confessions.
All right, we have a hurricane. Everybody,
wait, what?
Everybody panic accordingly.
All right, you got the rest of the show then.
Everybody,
you headed home.
Hey, I'll be back.
Everybody,
I won't
panic accordingly. So here's my confession. I guess it's a tropical depression, a tropical storm right now, Francine. And my confession is, this hurricane doesn't worry me, which worries me.
Yeah.
Now let me explain.
Okay.
Everything, you know, I will say, you want to know about the weather? Ask a fisherman. Everything I've looked into this, and we've talked about it on the Bite Me podcast and all that, it's like really close. It's like not too far off the Gulf Coast.
In the Gulf, right?
By Houston. But it's supposed to take a hard right, right? And go into Louisiana.
Mm-hmm. And you got me looking out the window
No, it's close. Tropical storm Francine, maybe a hurricane by the time it hits landfall. But so what... I'm saying don't worry about it, because I've seen these types of storms before, and there's like wind, and I'm not going to get into all the details. There's a north wind, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's supposed to take a hard right, but you're depending on the wind for it to take and the north, pressure, what all that stuff, all the weather, meteorology stuff. Mm-hmm. So this hurricane doesn't worry me.
You're using all the technology or all the jargon that makes me feel good about this prediction, mind you.
It doesn't worry me. It should go to Louisiana, and, you know, God bless those people. I know they've been battered as well. But it kind of worries me because you can't depend on that all the time. Yeah. We have experience with that.
Yeah, I think I'm a little more worried about if the power going to go out or not.
Oh, the power's going to go out for 27 days, no matter if it hits or not.
And it can rain, flood, all that stuff, man. Is the power going? Is it going to be out for a month this time? That's what I'm worried about.
Hashtag Centerpoint.
And that's the question, right? Especially because you're not more than a month removed from dealing with Hurricane Beryl. Like, and the thing about it is, okay, yeah, there's not actual water still, you know, logged in certain places. Although it's possible that maybe there is somewhere.
But, yeah.
The recovery from those things, making sure all the systems that are in place have been fully, you know, recovered to a certain point, and then hitting them again.
Yeah.
Right. Only God knows what that ultimately does. Right. And I speak from a place of not having real knowledge on that, so I understand. But I'm saying, like, just in a more common sense way, right? If something has taken a beating, right, and it was damaged, and you haven't had a lot of time to fix it, if it takes another beating, where does it end up, right? Yeah. I have no idea. One thing I can tell you, you may not be worried, and people that was in Sam's Club yesterday was, they bought waters. All the water was out that thing, bro. I got one case, thankfully, and I just wanted it, right? I was just getting regular shopping things, but they was buying up the water at that point.
Hey, that's the worst when you try to go to the store just for something simple. And everybody in line because they a little bit panicking.
Yeah.
It's like, man, I'm just trying to get one little case of water. That's it.
I'm showing Reggie right now. It's right there.
Oh, it's right there by what, Brownsville?
And it looks like they'd be right on path to Houston. But apparently all these winds and the pressure, upper pressure and
we
all
need
that
to get you a green screen.
Is gonna
put
kick
your work.
It, is gonna kick it to Louisiana. But the fact that I'm not worried worries me.
Yeah, you should be worried. I don't know where you got to. Shout out to the 713 who's got a generator. So they're good over there. Shout out to AC. Go ahead and do what you got
to
do.
Definitely need to get his generator.
Okay, very good. Yeah. Watch this. These are my confessions. I forgot where I was for a second. I do not. My confession here. I don't get why everybody's so up in arms about the Kendrick Lamar selection, particularly the people that are like, it should have been Lil Wayne, right? And I understand the thought process there, I am imagining, unless people are just like, we need to give Wayne his flowers in the year of our Lord 2024, right? The idea is, well, it's going to be in New Orleans, so you get somebody from that area. When did that become a rule?
It didn't.
Like,
no, that's fair.
You realize how recently that we started making that feel like a thing, right? Like, what was it? Was it 2022 when we had Dre, Snoop, and M? Like, was there another one that had an actual real association to the Super Bowl location that they were having?
They tried to do it, the one that was in Miami.
With Shakira?
Yeah, and I think Adam Schefter
and Bad Bunny.
He messed that all the way up because he tried to say he tried to say they was trying to honor the Latina something down in Miami.
Yeah.
And it was like, J-Lo is from the Bronx.
She'll tell you that every chance she gets. Every time. She is Jenny from the block, right? But okay, you Bad Bunny, J Balvin, all them folks that was there, right? Maybe you say it was 2020. That's enough. We got two Super Bowls, and now every Super Bowl has to have the halftime performer somehow associated with it. Get out of here, man.
Yeah, I agree.
My thing is, people act like they just got Logic, the rapper Logic, to perform over Lil Wayne, man.
I love the shots at Logic here.
It's like, dog, like, this is Kendrick Lamar. This is one of the bigger artists. Mm-hmm. Like, if you want to compare Kendrick to somebody like a Drake or something like that, that's a fair comparison.
Plus, I would go so far as to say this, right? Performing live? I don't want to hear Lil Wayne. Have you heard Lil Wayne recently?
I did.
Was it bad?
Did you think it was good or bad?
Nah, I don't think it was bad. Look, it was, to me, I think.
And I'm not saying, hey, man, if we're just going to put a CD of Lil Wayne 2015.
We're good.
You could talk me into it.
Yeah.
No, I don't want that.
Yeah, I think it was tough because they just performed at the Essence Festival. And they was having issues there with the whole Hot Boys and Young Money thing. So. Yeah, I don't think so, man. Not the Super Bowl, man.
Yeah, watch this. These
are my confessions. So, James Earl Jones passed away. Rest in peace to him. I was kind of looking through some clips coming to America, and we all kind of know this legendary theme song right here. With the King is coming.
Yes.
I got to confess, I did not know Nile Rodgers produced this, man.
Oh, that makes sense.
Legendary musician, man. He been around for years.
Yes.
Created the group, the disco group, the Chic.
Chic. Yeah, Chic. Yeah, man.
Yeah, so Daft Punk, he part of Daft Punk. just legendary, man.
Yeah, I did a not, frequent collaborator of Daft Punk, for sure.
Yeah, I did not know he produced this, man.
I didn't either.
He was in this bag with this one, man.
That man's all over. There's a lot of places where you're like, oh, Nile Rodgers was in some of this? That's crazy.
Yeah, that's talent right there.
Real talent.
Yeah, because I would have thought it was just a straight up, like, some type of orchestra or something like that. That had nothing to do with him. But for the simple fact, he put this together. This is dope, man.
It's legendary. I mean, absolutely legendary. There's a lot of things about everybody's going down the James Earl Jones, you know, rabbit hole right now. But one thing I saw yesterday, Mark Hamill from the original
Star Wars. He played Luke Skywalker.
He just tweeted, "R.I.P. Dad."
Oh,
yeah, people
man.
Loved that one.
That was
really did.
That was awesome. It was really, really cool.
And plus, by the way, 120 Figgy Smith's tape, I got a bunch of random cool little clips from James Earl Jones.
I'd love
that,
to see it.
Yeah, and that might make an appearance.
Appreciate all the folks reminding me, 2018. I can't believe I forgot the greatest halftime performance in Super Bowl history, Prince in Minnesota. All right, you got three out of 50-something. And obviously, I know the halftime show.
Yeah, but here it was Lady Gaga. Guys.
Yeah.
By the way, last thing on James Earl Jones.
Okay.
One other thing I found out upon his death. He had never met Carrie Fisher.
Oh, yeah, because he just voiced over.
Oh, really?
He met her, like, on the set of Big Bang Theory, like, 30 years later
that's
or
wild.
Something. It was pretty
Dang.
Wild. Yeah.
Dang, that's cool. Watch this. These
are my confessions. I get it, but I don't get it. Why can't people get sarcasm anymore? Like, immediately it turns into, oh, this guy needs to apologize, blah, 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 for saying that. So this was Scott Hansen. We all love him from Red Zone.
71-yard attempt. And now the Browns will call a timeout.
Maybe everyone's going to rethink this one.
71 yards.
Go to the Jets down.
Oh, come on. Brady's got to get more excited than that in the booth.
He was just feeding off all the Twitter feeds and Twitter reactions and of people talking about Tom Brady's debut. And he goes, he's got to be more excited. He actually apologized, and he may have been forced to apologize. Now, to his credit, Tom Brady responded to his tweet and said, "Bro, we're just having fun." You know, he basically said that. I wasn't exactly, but he's like, he got it.
Sometimes it's not worth the hassle.
Well, why
Might
can't
as well.
People just say, "Oh, that's cool. He's being sarcastic or funny or whatever." Like, people asked him to apologize for that?
Yeah, see, I think the best thing, especially if you're somebody like Tom Brady, you got to just lean into it, man.
And he knew.
Threw a joke back and just lean into it. Like, there ain't no need to be all serious about this, man.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I hear what you're saying, but from Scott's spot, I feel like I would have been like Scott and like, yeah, man, I just want to let y'all know, wasn't no ill will there, just make it clear, my bad, it's cool.
But, I mean,
it shouldn't have to
be that. It shouldn't have to.
There's a lot
We're
of things
all
in this world
smart,
that
Alex.
Be.
We're all smart, Alex.
I know that this is going to be a hot take. I think that the Niners are indeed still the cream of the crop, right? Like, I understand that they had all these issues with dudes that they were trying to get, you know, signed up. They ultimately got them signed up. And what it looks like is they can still beat out here and punish folks. I think that is the team to beat in the NFC. And I might go so far as to say that's the team to beat in the NFL this year.
Not exactly a hot take, I would say.
That's
my sarcasm.
Yeah, that was the sarcasm I also had.
That's my sarcasm.
Apologize.
I'll apologize
well,
for
guys,
it later.
Well, guys, you know, I set it up as a hot take. I was really just trying to be tongue-in-cheek. But you know what? I apologize for any offense that I may have caused. I did not intend that.
I'll
do my best to continue to progress this show and this station as much as possible.
That was actually a very good apology. No, I can't argue that. But I'm feeling the Lions right now. Manningcast was not feeling Brandon Ayuk on a touchdown reception that he could have had. Gotta go to training camp. I loved it. Absolutely. I love the Manningcast. It's just so good.
Yeah, I don't think I have the Manningcast luxury right now. We're just whatever game ESPN actually puts on the ESPN app that I can watch is where I'm at. Again, I am going to be salty at Disney and DirecTV until they get this straight. So I'm just going to keep doing that.
Man, I won a mutant spree yesterday on social media.
A what?
A muting.
He was muting, folks.
Yeah.
Oh, muting. Okay.
You thought he was like talking X-Men?
I thought he was talking mutants. Yeah.
Oh, no. I felt like a mutant, to be honest. Yeah. I'm muting all these people. But so I'm gonna go down the list. I'm looking at the
you're muting everyone.
The words I got muted. No, not people, but actual words on social media.
You're just like, if this word pops up, no, it doesn't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I had to mute Drake.
Yes.
Good call. I had to mute Jay-Z.
Okay.
I had to mute Kendrick Lamar.
Okay.
I had to mute Lil Wayne.
Fair.
I had to mute Nicki Minaj.
That you should have been done that, honestly.
Hey, I muted Super Bowl.
Okay.
Oh,
I muted Super Bowl, and the last thing I had to mute was Tyreek Hill, man.
Of course.
I was just sick of seeing enough all of these wild takes and people with awful opinions.
I'm proud of you. Protect your peace.
I had to protect my peace, man.
I love that.
Yeah. Only for 7 days, though. I only did the 7 days. If I keep seeing it after 7 days, then I'm going to go 14 days.
Oh, so that's how you... I don't really meet too many people. You can do it for time, certain amount?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's not even... With people, I don't know that there's a time period, but if you're muting like a phrase that's been said, you can
You can mute it forever. Yeah. It's an option where you can mute it forever.
One thing that you don't want to mute is this station. You want to keep it locked and listening all the time. Locked and loaded is the words that I was looking for, because we got tickets to give away, baby. What number should we use here? What number should we use?
Okay, so let's go. We can't do 7. Everybody would expect that.
Yeah.
How about... You want to put figure to work?
No.
Nah, man. my man is a producer, too.
Let's go 12.
I'm kind of surprised Figgy's here.
We'll split the difference. Nico Collins, 12.
All right, yeah, Nico Collins. Yeah. Caller number 12 will get some front row tickets in the bullpen to Sunday night's game versus the Chicago Bears. First primetime game for a very good long time for your Texans. You have an opportunity to be there. You can buy tickets, or you can just call in right now. Be caller number 12. Right here, Sports Radio 610 on a ticket, Texans Ticket Tuesday. It's also our Kids Read Radiothon. Continue texting in. New books, 41444 is the number that you're texting them to. And donate. We're trying to help. We're trying to raise $100,000 to make sure that the babies can read, man. Before they get to kindergarten, 60% rather, of children are reaching kindergarten and not prepared to, with literacy and to be able to learn. And obviously getting books in their homes, personal homes, new books, and an opportunity to foster a love of reading is paramount. So we're trying to help that. You can help that by texting new books. No space, no underscores, to 41444. Phillip 66 is matching all donations. And so if you do that, make sure to write Go Texans. We'll shout you out. If you have a business, let that be known. We'll shout you out because we want to make sure that the babies can read. All right, man. Coming up next in the loop, let's get a little Any Given Sunday. Let's talk about some of the things that we learned from this weekend in NFL football. We'll do that next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
All right. I really do probably need to issue some apologies.
No, you don't. We got a first-time winner.
We did get a first-time winner. Shout out to Joaquin, who'll be watching Texans, Bears, courtesy of Sports Radio 610, getting you out there.
Sunday night game, baby.
Big time.
We got to pump that up.
Absolutely.
Sunday night.
And mind you, Joaquin, I hope you got white ready to go. It is going, I don't know, they're not calling it a white out, but they're saying we're white.
Liberty white?
Liberty white,
Liberty
baby.
White.
So I hope that you're ready, because that whole stadium is going to be decked out in Liberty white as your Texans take on the Chicago Bears. If you're planning on being out there.
Oh, it's going to be so good.
I can't wait.
It's going to be so good.
Yeah, if you're planning on being out there, have that in your plan as well. We're still doing the Kids Read Radiothon. We're still taking those donations. Phillip 66 is still matching donations, and it's still just $30 to change a kid's life, change one of the baby's life, so that they have books in the house, new books, in fact.
Mm-hmm.
Get them on the path of loving reading, literacy, prepare for school and learning, and a lifelong love of reading and learning. That's what we're trying to foster with this thing here. All right, man. Week one, fully in the books, Thursday to Monday. We got all the games in. So what did we learn on Any Given Sunday?
Yeah, what did we learn? What are your thoughts on this? What did you learn? Let's start with Packers, Eagles in Brazil.
34-29, Eagles get the victory.
All right, and Jordan Love has an MCL. He'll be out for a little bit. If he's out.
I know that they're still kind of playing this as if they can get him in there, they'll get him in there. If he's out, Matt LaFleur has named that Malik Willis will be the starter should Jordan Love
I probably I read that when I read it I read it as someone kind of interpreting it, okay, Malik Willis is playing. But technically he said if he's out. If I did it, shout out to OJ. Anyway,
Man.
I didn't anticipate an OJ shout out on this broadcast.
But that changes everything for the Packers, man. Changes everything. But then the other observation I had, curious on you guys' thoughts, just jump in. Saquon Barkley. I mean,
good at football, apparently.
Enormous.
Good at football. I am 24 carries, 109 yards, two touchdowns, and a receiving touchdown. Good at football.
Takeaway from Rams and Lions.
Rams and Lions. That one was a 26-20 victory for the Lions in overtime.
And here's my takeaway from that. That game looked very familiar, ended up looking very familiar to how the Texans played. David Montgomery, offensive line taking control. I'm feeling that Texans-Lions Super Bowl, baby.
Oh, is that the one that you called?
That's the one I called.
Okay, good.
That's the one I called. I'm going to stick with it.
I like how you made that about you. You're like, hold on. Lions, Texans, both got wins.
Yeah.
I'm going to be right. Which, you know what? I don't begrudge you.
Very similar wins, which I liked even more. Last night, Jets and Niners. We covered this a little bit at the top of the show.
32-19, final score in favor of the Niners at home. By the way, it looked gorgeous under the California sun. I just love watching those games like that. Yeah. And Scorigami. The 1,085th unique score in the NFL history.
32-19. How about that? My takeaway from that, Aaron Rodgers looked like he can still, you know, obviously spin it and still be Aaron Rodgers. He just looked a step slow. And I think that's going to come back to haunt him over the course of 17 games.
Yeah, especially in week 9 when Will Anderson and Dylan Hunter is bearing down on him. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
Because also, and I... Tyron Smith, who is the left tackle out there with the Jets, he got beat a few times.
Yeah, he did.
And so that'd be Will Hunter over there handling business over there. I'm excited. I'm excited to see that.
Jaguars Dolphins. Let's talk about the actual game here because
yeah, I guess that's fair. Dolphins get a 20-17 last second field goal victory there. Yeah.
My takeaway from this one: Trevor Lawrence is still not quite there.
Yeah, and I mean, there's some people that are still holding out hope that, like, yo, he is still Golden Boy. He is still the next.
They're banking on it.
We're
literally
running out of time on that being demonstrated and displayed. Although all across and with all these games, offense was kind of down. I think
see the quarterback stat that they were throwing
was
out?
Was Tua the only quarterback to have thrown over 300 yards?
I think
this week?
Baker did, didn't he?
Matt Stafford also did.
Oh, Stafford, okay.
Stafford also did. But I mean, we did not have very many people throw for a whole bunch of yards. It felt like a relatively muted offensive.
I saw
weekend.
A stat that just quarterback numbers in general were down. Cowboys at Browns got, you know, let's be
honest. A lot to a little in favor of the Cowboys.
Yeah,
with the score.
Yeah. You got to give it to the Cowboys as much as I hate them. But holy smokes, we all know what the real story is out of this game.
That quarterback stinks, brother.
He's bad.
He's
bad.
We mentioned this when we had B. Scott earlier. Like, it just feels like they have isolated the variable. Well, he's hurt. No, he's not. Like, he had the whole season. He had his surgery, those types of things. They're not blocking it up. Hey, man, Joe Flacco got off of a couch and was able to go and do these things with backup tackles, right? Yeah. In this offense we've seen is able to produce. It's you, dog. It's you.
Yeah, it seemed like the whole media is kind of saying the same thing now because they was using excuses last year.
Yeah.
Now everybody like, nope. He stinks.
Cardinals at Bills, and this was one that was actually a pretty good game.
Yeah, 34-28, the Bills ultimately walked down the Cardinals, who had a pretty solid lead early on.
This is just me saying I was wrong, at least to this point. Got to give it to Josh Allen. Dude, just did it.
Yeah.
Like, just did it and ran, scored a touchdown on a run that maybe he, Anthony Richardson, and maybe Lamar Jackson could score, but Lamar Jackson isn't quite as big. He just flat out did it, man.
They're going to be around. I just don't think they're going to get to an AFC championship.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what the high water mark for them is because at least, and I don't know if this is going to be the end all be all, but it feels like it's clear that they didn't fall off a cliff, which was one of the things that it felt like it was a possibility with the amount of talent that they lost over the offseason. So they did not fall off a cliff. Now, what is the high water mark? And at least Josh Allen came in and seemed to do some level of, hey, man, I can do some carrying as a quarterback, as we kind of expect some high-level quarterbacks to do when you start taking up more of the proverbial pie and less is able to be put around you in some ways.
Patriots at Bengals. A couple things to look at here.
Bengals lost to the Patriots 16-10, man.
Man, you know, how does that happen?
The Bengals are in trouble, man.
They're not good at it. That opening season's strong. And then the Patriots, you know, you got to give it to Gerard Mayo.
Yeah. I mean, that defense remains really good without their best player. They traded Matthew Judon to the Falcons early on before the season. And so the idea was like, hey, man, this team looks like a team that has fully gone into the tank of we know this is going to be a bad season. They're not playing Drake May. Maybe just because that offensive line isn't all that great and they're trying to protect him from the scourge of being out there being unprotected. Hello, Texans fans, knowing what it looks like with David Carr, right? And ultimately, they still are out there and just being a menace, making it really tough on teams because defensively, they got some dudes and they've got really a really good situation in, with the defense.
They do. Raiders at Chargers. Jim Harbaugh just gets it done. Antonio Pierce. Oh, boy. What kind of confidence would you have in Antonio Pierce? Fourth and one, Chargers 43-yard line. You're trailing 16-10, 7 minutes left. Hey, let's go ahead and punt.
Yeah, look, man, this, and I don't, this is way too reactionary, right? Because again, but, you know, like this is week one, right? Only so much you can make up all of the things that we're talking about. Mm-hmm. But this is one of the things you worry about when you make the interim into the full-time coach, right? Yeah, like interims are interims for reasons in some instances, and they gave him the job off of the strength that everybody liked him, and they did a little bit of something after the last dude that they had, they hated.
Yeah.
This might be a one and done.
These are the decisions that the head coach is going to have to make all the damn time, and it feels like the first iteration of it feels kind of failure-y.
And Broncos at Seahawks, you know it's bad when while the pass is in the air, the analyst says this.
5:35 left, they're down 13. Knicks.
Oh no.
Has all time, but it's intercepted. Picked off by Woolen. Second interception thrown by the rookie Knicks.
Yeah, two interceptions for Bo Nix. The only thing that I have is like, one, I personally wasn't super high on Bo Nix, so I'm not going to like get out here and dance on his grave or anything. First of all, I don't think he's in a grave in that way. Again, week one. I'm not going to have to keep saying it, but I kind of feel like I have to keep saying it.
Oh, no.
The ball was in the air.
The question I have.
Interception coming.
What does Sean Payton talk about? Because Sean Payton like really built him up in this way. And this is like quarterback number two that Sean Payton has done this with, where I was like, what are you seeing? The other one being Taysom Hill, where he just kept running him out here at quarterback for some godforsaken reason. And it's just like, what are you seeing that we don't? Because like maybe you're just quarterback guru and we don't know, but like, I understand maybe going with Bo Nix. I'm not saying that that's the crazy part. The idea is like trying to sell us that he has the full grasp of the offense and everything.
Yeah.
He's still a rookie in this, and he looked kind of rookie.
He very much did. Commanders at Buccaneers, all I wrote down was Baker Mayfield.
Man. Yeah, man. He was good enough that he was out here driving Cleveland hosts. Hey, insane.
He need those commercials back, man.
He does.
He need to bring those commercials back. Those commercials away from him. What if that was what was making him stink up the joint? I'm just joking. Yeah. We all know what was making him stink up the joint was being on the Browns.
So Steelers and Falcons, final score was 19 to, I forget the score on this one, but
18-10, rather. You remember, it's you just have to multiply 6 by 3 because they didn't score touchdowns.
They didn't score any touchdowns. But of course Mike Tomlin won. Of course Mike Tomlin had an upset. Of course he did, Figgy.
I'm telling you, man. I'd never count that dude out, man.
It's crazy.
And it's not that Justin Fields was out here cooking. He was all right.
He was all right.
It was okay.
Panthers at Saints, you can set a clock on week one. Derek Carr is going to look like an MVP.
47-10.
Yeah.
Derek Carr is so frustrating because he has the capability of doing this all the damn time.
First 3 weeks of every year, he looks like he's going to be the MVP.
Like, he has the big arm. He is a in-the-book all-star, right? Like on paper, and just for some reason, it never fully works out, and I don't understand why exactly.
Yeah. And then finally, Vikings at Giants. And you remember on a Friday, we were previewing all these games, and I wrote down Hawk Tua. Guess what I wrote down after the game? Hawk Tua.
Again, I don't think that's the way that we describe football games, but okay. All right.
Daniel Jones.
Yeah, the Giants are very, very bad at football. Also, looked really ridiculous in those throwbacks. Gotta add.
They did.
Yeah. Him and no throwbacks, that was a two-pack of ass. I'm telling
you, man. Thank you, Joe Budden. Appreciate that.
And people waiting outside for about an hour just to boo him.
Yeah, because that's how they got their money's worth,
right? That's how they got their money's worth. Three touchdown throws to the other team, two to his own team since he signed the contract.
I don't think that's good. All right, well, that was our
rapid reactions to the weekend that was in NFL football. I guess all that's left is to kind of turn the page to week two, right?
Well, let's do that tomorrow.
We'll do that tomorrow. Before we get there, though, as we're continuing the Kids Read Radiothon here with Odyssey Houston and Sports Radio 610, again, the number to text is 41444. You text the word new books. It's all one word, no space, and donate. Donate to the cause. Make sure that you throw in a little message, especially to our friend Eric down at the Bull. He thinks that people should be sending a Go Cowboys message, so go ahead and let him know. Go Texans. Mm-hmm. Coming up next, Lopez stumbled into a storyline about C.J. Stroud that he believes tells us all we need to know. We'll talk about that and more next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.